We see bright yellow caution signs all over the place in our lives. So I'm just curious, a few popcorn answers. What kind of signs or symbols are those caution ones that we see? Any ideas? Just say them out loud.
Falling rocks.
Falling rocks.
Wet paint.
Wet paint.
Yield.
What? Yield, yes. Other yellow cautions.
Elk crossing.
Oh my, are you a native Northwesterner? Okay. Other yellow caution signs. Right. A stoplight changes to yellow. That's right, Also, there is yellow tape. Do not cross this police line. Okay. So we know the color yellow, at least in our culture, is a cautionary color, and we see it all over the place, lots of different times. Something that's been a floor that has been newly mopped, slippery. When we see those signs, I think that we have learned to have a sense of some impending danger or risk, that there is some kind of warning. And caution may seem an odd approach or an unusual threshold into the realm of God, but I think that it is fruitful and illuminating for us to consider, at least for a time. For a total of 6 weeks, we are actually going to explore this idea of the realm of God, the dominion of God, the so-called kingdom of God, which was the primary topic in the teachings and preachings of Jesus. And it's helpful because if we ourselves pay attention, we notice that everything in the world is not exactly as we think it should be or exactly as we think God might want it to be. With violence and poverty and oppression and injustice, we yearn to live in a different kind of world. And the good news is that God offers us a vision of a new kind of world, a promise new kind of world. It's a kind of world in which captives are set free, a world where the exiles come home, where the marginal and excluded are the chosen ones, a world in which the dead can rise from the grave. It's a vision of what the world can be like when God is in charge and not other powers. And it's a world not just for the hereafter, but it's already breaking into the present, an alternative world, a kingdom of God here and now, the kind of world that God wants us to live in. But how do we get there? There are, it seems, many points of entry, many doorways into this alternative world, maybe even at every turn, but they are not always where we expect them to be. First week, the entrance was through the door called changing room. The second week, through the door marked push. Last week, it was through the door marked waiting room. And today, it's through the door marked caution. Caution, the word itself puts us on notice. But for what and how are we on notice? The excerpt that we hear today from the Gospel according to Luke is one among many warning teachings of Jesus. And in this reading, in the English language translation, perhaps even stronger than the word caution, the word that's used is beware. Beware. And the disciples to whom he is speaking are put on notice. This passage, this story, begins as Jesus steps outside, having just been inside at dinner. Which you can't turn a page in the Gospel of Luke without Jesus being at dinner with somebody or another. He was at a dinner gathering of the very religious in this case, the Pharisees and the religious lawyers of his day. So as you can well imagine from the stories of Jesus, this was not a relaxed and gracious social gathering. At the table, Jesus pulls no punches, and he says that while as religious folks they might tithe very scrupulously, but they neglect what it is God most demands, which is justice and love, and he calls them unmarked graves. And the lawyers are insulted. Any lawyers in the crowd? The lawyers are insulted, and he rails against them just as much. And he goes outside, and it seems as though these now insulted religious are following him and attracting even a greater crowd, or more offending folks. The crowd gathers, and Jesus turns to his followers, to his disciples, and he speaks a word of warning against what he calls, quote, the yeast of the Pharisees. And what is that danger or threat? Put quite plainly, it is hypocrisy, the charge that is consistently and constantly leveled against anyone or all of us who sometimes profess one thing and act differently. So this is a great preaching text on the topic of hypocrisy. However, that will be for another day. I want to notice that here and elsewhere where Jesus issues these sayings of warning and caution, indicating that there is some kind of threat. Where is that threat located? Is it outside or is it within? In this case, if you read that passage just a little more closely, even though the threat is called the so-called yeast of the Pharisees, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it quickly becomes very personal, saying, whatever you say under the cover of darkness will be uncovered. So while those disciples are nodding in agreement about those hypocritical religious Pharisees and folks over there, Jesus quickly turns and reminds them, hold on, slow down, you are not off the hook yourselves. Beware, not just the folks out there and over there, but watch out here as well. Oh, Jesus, it is so much easier to pay attention and criticize what's wrong with somebody else's life than to pay attention to my own. Beware. That is the caution sign. It wakes us up. It tells us to slow down, take care. Slow down, pay attention. I am sure that is what all of us do when we see a yellow light, isn't it? We slow down. It's smelling a little yeasty in here. We know the right answer that you put on the test for the Department of Motor Vehicles. We know the right answer when the green traffic light turns to yellow. You slow down and you prepare to stop. But really, for how many of us, whether driving or whether we're standing at a crosswalk and the hand begins to flash, how many of us actually slow or just say, oh, I've got time enough, kick on the accelerator. Well, that means I've got a few more seconds. I don't want to have to sit at the red light. Charge on through. Caution. Slow down. Pay attention. If there is any primary spiritual practice, it is the practice of paying attention. It is the practice of paying attention. The reading from Thich Nhat Hanh that we hear today is really about paying attention, mindfulness, just another word for paying attention in a very specific practiced way, that's true. It brings us into, as he says, our true home, which is the present moment, because we don't really live in the past, although we may think we live our lives in the past, or the future. It is here, the moment, the present moment, the green grass on which we walk, our home. Most of you, not all of you, but many of you know that I injured my knee 6 weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago. I fell off, not a tall ladder, thankfully. I fell off a ladder and rather badly hurt my left knee. And I am so thankful. It could have been a far worse accident than it was. Nothing was broken, nothing was torn, and I could have fallen and hit. Anything awful could have happened. So I'm grateful that it was as minor as it has turned out to be. But if you were at church that first Sunday after I fell, I was limping with a cane after my Friday fall. And over the course of these several weeks, thankfully I am, I would say, 90-95% recovered in my knee, so I'm really grateful for that. But over these weeks, I have learned a few very important things. One of them is that we are all only temporarily abled. At some point in our lives, we will find ourselves otherwise mobile. So that's an important lesson. It was a good practice. I hope I learned the lesson not to be on a ladder alone. I have not yet been on a ladder again. I'm sure I will in the future, but I hope I have learned the lesson not to crawl onto a ladder with nobody else around. But there were a couple of other really subtle and I think really important lessons that I learned in addition to those. For the first several days, I walked with a cane and a knee brace. And there really wasn't much pain in my knee after the first 24 hours or so, but it was quite unsteady. It felt very wobbly. And I tend to walk very fast, a rather brisk walker in typical life. And I had to walk very slowly, very deliberately, paying attention to absolutely every step that I took. Monitoring step by step how much weight was I or was I not going to put on that foot? How much movement was that knee going to be able to do? And negotiating the challenge of going up and down stairs was a revelation of how to pay attention. Which foot do I lead with? Which one follows? After a few days, the cane became unnecessary, thankfully. And after a few weeks, the brace was less and less necessary. And there was no pain in the normal use and walking with my knee. And there was more and more mobility and strength. And I was walking with a limp. More mobility, no pain, strength, and I was walking with a limp. Thankfully, one of my visiting friends who was here a few weeks ago, Lori, is an osteopathic physician. So she did a couple treatments. But what was most instructive, she spent about an hour and a half walking with me around the block where I lived. Because I had, over the course of a few weeks, adjusted how I was walking, and I had not readjusted. So we spent about an hour and a half taking what would have been a 10-minute walk, slowing down, stopping. She coached me, let the muscles make a new and a different choice. Put your heel down first. I was walking on the ball of my foot after my accident. I needed to pay attention again and relearn. My caution of paying attention at the beginning of my accident had morphed into me being unconsciously afraid of hurting myself again. Favoring and holding my leg stiffly, it had only been an amazingly short period of time, a few weeks, it had already distorted my walk and my gait. My caution had hardened into a subtle fear and a pattern that was already distorting me. But when I slowed down again and again, I could make a new and a different choice. I still have to remind myself, but I can walk normally if I remember to walk slowly. Does that ever happen to us emotionally or spiritually? Now, there may be a good reason to start with some caution. There might be a real risk. There might be a real experience of pain or brokenness. But then, does that taking care twist into a fear that anticipates that something bad is bound to happen and we limp along, distorted and frozen? When, if we stopped, slowed down, paid attention, we would discover we really are perfectly able to move freely. Slow down, pay attention, with care, yes. With fear, no. I want to invite you into a time of brief meditation. If it's easier for you to do that with your eyes closed, I invite you to do that. And I want you to imagine yourself either driving or riding or whatever your means of transportation might be along a scenic route, a scenic road or a lovely street. You are moving along at your normal pace. And you see a yellow light. What do you do at the yellow light? Do you hit the accelerator? Charge on through? Do you look both ways, slow down? Now recognize that that road is your spiritual journey. You are going along the road, you are going along the path at that what seems a comfortable, natural pace. And then a yellow light. Without fear, consider what happens if you proceed at this pace. Is there some potential harm or risk to you or someone else? At that yellow light, with curiosity, consider what would you notice if you went a little more slowly, with greater care, paid attention. There are many doorways into the kind of life, the kind of world that God hopes for us. Slow down. Pay attention. One of the ways is through the door marked caution.